Blog Talk Radio.
4, 3, 2, 1, 0. Lift off.
To a new energetically speaking show on lifescaperadio.com, where we talk about everything related to energy. Our call-in number is 657-383-0827. Again, it is 657-383-0827. You can listen live at lifescaperadio.com/live. And please join us in the chat room there as well. If you scroll down to the bottom of the page, you'll find the chat area. And today we're going to be talking with Farmer Sal. But first, I want to tell you about some changes that we're doing here. Following our show, energetically speaking, usually we have psychically speaking following right after us here on lifescaperadio.com. Well, today I am sad to say energetically speaking's last episode is today, and psychically speaking has ended as well. But the good news is some of the radio hosts like Dr. Dax Carlisle, Suzanne Warnett, Rose Fulhurst, and myself, Pamela Jones, a.k.a. Oceana Power, I came out last week on our new show, so you know. We're moving over to Angelic Realms Radio, which is coming up next at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, with Suzanne Warnett, Rose Fulhurst, Dr. Dax Carlisle, and myself. And I will be on as Pamela Jones, as myself. And we are going to have a new call-in number over there. It is 949-203-4840. And in case you didn't catch it, I'll repeat that. That's 949-203-4840. And you can find us on blogtalkradio.com/angelic realms. And last week, Dax, Rose, and I already had our first Tuesday episode of Angelic Realms Radio last week on March the 10th. You can catch it at www.angelpracticioners.com/psychicvampires. That's psychic-vampires. And the other thing is we are going to be going as www.angelpracticioners.com. That's going to be our new website, and we hope you'll follow us over there. And our new number, I'll say it again, is 949-203-4840. So over at angelpracticioners.com, you can find out more about what we're going to be doing over there and learn about the IAAP, which is the International Association of Angel Practitioners, and Maria Mass's new course on certified angel practitioners. Several of us, previous and past hosts on lifescaperadio.com, are taking the course, as well as I think we're up to 44 people that are taking the course, and then we're going to be certified, and then we're going to be doing, I'm not sure if it's another website, it's going to be Angelic Realms, and we'll be talking more about that in the next hour. But like I said, we'll be changing over to a different network, and we're going to be doing like an angels kind of format, where we're going to be talking about everything to do with angels, or not, and that. So we're going to be ending today's show, but we have Farmer Sal on, and I'm going to say hello to Ambika. Hello, Ambika.
Hi, how are you, Oceana?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you. I'm so happy for all you guys moving and moving forward, and we'll see where I end up, you know? We'll see who picks me up as a radio host and where this all takes me. But it's been such a pleasure to be your co-host over these last few weeks, and I wish you all the best with your new show with Dax and the gang.
Thank you. Yeah, the first episode went really well, and I hope you'll join us, or at least, you know, come on and a co-host or something with us, because I think we're going to be doing it a little bit differently. Instead of having show titles, you know, show names or whatever weekly, I think we're just going by like the day of the week. Like there's Angels Monday or Angelic Realms Radio Tuesday is what Dax called it for our Tuesday show, instead of having to worry about, you know, names and topics, I think, or whatever. He's going to explain it better, I think, in the next hour there. I'm still trying to keep up and catch up with what they're doing over there and do my course at the same time. But I wish you well. I hope you come with us. And I have enjoyed, you know, the last several weeks that we've had together. We've done some really interesting topics and had some interesting guests on. And we've got another guest on today, Farmer Sal.
Hello.
Hi. Hi, Farmer Sal. Welcome.
Well, listen, I'm really appreciative to be on your show today, and we're going to have a great time talking about whatever it is we're talking about within the realm of, you know, energies and Mother Nature. So what questions do you have?
Wow, Sal's all revved up and ready to go. Well, Farmer Sal, first, what we'd love to know is what got you into farming, and tell us about your connection with Mother Nature and the plant world.
Okay, you got a minute for a story?
Sure, absolutely.
When I was younger, I went to Plumosa Elementary and I think it was Delray Beach. I think it was in that city. And I missed a day of school, and I got chastised by my teacher about missing the day of school because I said I was sick. And she was trying to tell me that, you know, you shouldn't be sick and you should come in anyway. You know, she was a strong black woman. And after the class the next day when I did come back, she said, come with me, you know, save your milk carton. And I want you to poke holes in the bottom of it. And after class, after everybody was gone, she personally took me out to the back of the schoolyard, and we filled this milk carton with the holes that I put in it with soil from the ground there. And she handed me a seed and told me what to do with it. You water it, keep it in, you know, medium light, and make sure that it doesn't go dry. And I watched this seed come up out of the soil. And to me, that was the most magical thing that I've ever seen. And it still is today. This is like 27 years, no, this is like 30-something years later. I'm still in awe at the power of nature and how things grow.
That's awesome. Definitely sprouting seeds are amazing with their strength and power. What always blows me away is watching them push up out of the ground in the most unusual places, like in between the cement of pavements or in gravel. It just blows me away how something that's seemingly so fragile is so incredibly strong.
Yes, and then, you know, at the end result of that, you get food, which nourishes your body, which nourishes your mind.
Absolutely. And everybody, Farmer Sal's farm, where he grows incredible herbs and plants and food, is located at 12847 Southeast Highway 441 in Okeechobee, Florida, and that's in the United States. Area code 34974. And Farmer Sal, may I give your number out? Would you like people to contact
sure.
you if they want to bring
sure.
groups of people or children to your farm?
Yes, I have people out as long as they're respectful of the mother, you know.
Absolutely.
It helps for people to call me and talk to me, and I can talk to them. And I always answer people's questions on the phone. People I don't even know call me all the time, and I'll tell them whatever they're, you know, talking about. I'll try to answer their questions. But it's all about feeding the community and feeding the people. And I need volunteers. So yes, please put that information out.
Okay, absolutely. So you can contact Farmer Sal directly, listeners, at area code 863-357-2747. Again, that's area code 863-357-2747. And in my time of knowing Farmer Sal, listeners, he has been just such a wealth of knowledge and has so much love in sharing his information of plants. You can also visit his website at www.verygreenfarm.com, and that's spelled a little unusually. It's VarrGreen, and then farm, FARM.com. So let me spell that again. www.VarrGreenFarm, VarrGreenFarm.com. One of the plants that I'm fascinated about that you spoke about with me when I first contacted you to ask you if you'd like to be a guest on our show, Farmer Sal, is the moringa plant. Would you please talk a little bit about how you came upon that plant and its benefits and what it does?
Actually, my market manager, Tony Ann Weiner, who is a mentor to me, a very special person, and she does a lot of work in the local community here, mentioned these seeds to me. And there's a farming area out in West Florida called Echo, and you can go out there and volunteer, and you can stay on the farm in little huts, and they teach you how to do all these things. And if you want to, they'll send you to a foreign country to go teach other people how to do what they've taught you. And she sent us out there to go acquire some seeds. One of them was Seminole pumpkin, and the other was moringa seeds. And so we did that. And Seminole pumpkin is another interesting story I'll get to if you want to later. But the moringa, it's called the miracle tree for several reasons. First of all, it grows very fast, and it really doesn't require much tending, so it's easy. It's an easy plant to grow. Anybody, even a black thumb, can grow a moringa tree, and it will provide fruit and seed, well, fruit being the seed. The leaves themselves contain somewhere up to 35% protein per cup. And that's a good amount of protein for a vegetable. If you were looking to get away from meat, this would be a great source of protein. And it tastes like spinach. If you saute it with garlic and olive oil, Secondly, the seed itself is really incredible. If you take ditch water or pond water or river water that you're suspicious of, that may have some bacteria in it that you don't want to drink and you really need the water, you can put one of these seeds in a 16-ounce plastic bottle or glass jar or whatever you have, let it sit for 24 hours, and it will literally clean that water to be drinkable. You have to filter out the particulates, you know, through a shirt or a cloth or cheesecloth or whatever, but the seed itself will clean the water and make it drinkable. So it's just an awesome plant.
That is awesome. Maybe that's the plant for me. I've got a black thumb.
I got some seeds for you.
Oh, good. I like that idea. And it's full of protein, too. That's really good.
Yeah.
For a lot of people that don't want to eat meat anymore, you know, that are getting away from that.
Sure. And it's just, it's too easy to grow. It's like you can't fail. So.
Okay, I'm writing that one down. How do you spell that? Just the way it sounds, or?
M-O-R-I-N-D-A.
Okay. Oh,
Moringa. And if you have some symbols in your hand, you can kind of dance as you say it.
Yeah, it sounds like it, doesn't it? That is good.
That's another thing, too, is singing to your plants. That's a good idea. I do that all the time. And they sing to me, you know. Getting into frequencies and stuff like that, everything gives off live frequency, even, you know, rocks and things that people don't think are live or cognizant still give off energies. And if you're in tune with these things, you can hear all kinds of language, which is really an interesting thing to do. And for me, getting into gardening and getting into nature, I learned how to listen to the mother. And that was the most beneficial thing for me personally, and now I like to share that and give that back to the community, just like my teacher did when I was younger.
That's really cool. That reminds me of those tomato plant, what was it? They were listening to the tomato plants there. I think it's back in the 70s the science did those tests on them, see if they made noise, and they did.
Yeah.
And then I think, wasn't that the same test or something? They played also music for them and talked to them. You know, I think even houseplants and that do. Like, they'd yell at them or talk nice and or play hard music or soft music.
Yes.
I think that's really cool.
That's part of the gig is, you know, as much as we feel their frequencies, if you're listening, they also feel frequency, too. I mean, every living thing does. So what you put out, you know, what you take in is how we create the world around us.
Right, we get it back. I have to do a test on that now. I'm thinking about that. Healthy plants versus, you know, plants that aren't thriving as much.
Well, yeah. You know, one of the things about organic farming, well, the way that I do it is I leave it up to Mother Nature. I don't use any pesticides, herbicides, synthetic fertilizers, or anything. I happen to be lucky because I live right across the street from Lake Okeechobee, so there's been, like, I don't know, thousands of years of overflow from the natural lake before they created a berm, which stopped that water from flowing. Before they created that berm back in 1937, it's called the Hoover, whatever, Hoover berm, dam, dike, I don't know. But, yeah, before that, all of this hurricane trash and dead fish all settled into my backyard. So I have like 3 feet of black soil, organic material, that's been just sitting there. And for the past 60, 70 years, it's been cattle land. So cows have been eating the grass and pooping on it and all that good stuff. And,
so it's fresh and fertile in more ways than one.
Yeah, and then I do crop rotation, so I don't have to use any chemicals. It's difficult in Florida for me to teach other people because I'm kind of lucky in that respect, and a lot of people have to deal with sand. So I do try to convince them to put in raised beds if you're close to the ocean, you know, grow in pots. It's really easy to grow anything you want in pots. You can do it on your back porch. Even if you're in a condominium and you only have a 3x7 space or whatever, you can still put a couple of pots out there and grow your own food. There's something magical about growing your own food, especially with friends and other people watching this miracle happen. And then taking the fruit of that food and eating a meal together, there's nothing more magical than that.
No, that would be, I would love to do that because I'm in a townhouse condominium, and like you say, you can grow it in pots. Do you have any recommendations of, you know, what would be, I guess, the best ones to start out with? What seeds or plants to get first, maybe?
Sure.
Especially if you've locked some like me.
Sure. I have a very tiny cherry tomato. It's called Matt's Wild Cherry. You can order that out of Johnny's Selected Seeds catalog, and they pay attention to non-GMOs and organic and stuff like that, so you can look that up in their catalog. But I've been growing that for years. It's very small tomato. It doesn't have very much acid, so anybody can eat it. And it's easy to add to your salads because it's bite-sized, not like a regular grape tomato or a regular cherry tomato. It's smaller than that. And I kind of prefer that. And that's easy to grow. And you can put a trainer up in the pot and have it grow up that wire if you need to. I let my stuff grow on the ground. But anything like that, you can regrow your own lettuce. The things that you buy, if you're buying organic vegetables from the grocery store, say lettuce or celery or onions, if you like fresh chopped green onions, you can put your onion butts in a pot, and they will regrow. And you're not going to get an onion, but you're going to get the greens from it. You can use those onion greens, or you can regrow lettuce from its butt, or really a lot of things, onions, carrots, all those things will regrow. So it's really kind of simple. All you need is a pot and some soil and the will to do so.
Oh, that's really interesting. I know you could do onion, like cutting those off, especially I think the green onions. But I didn't know you could do that with lettuce.
Yes, you can regrow your lettuce. And sometimes it may turn out a little bit better. It depends on where you're growing it and how you're growing it. But like with the celery, even if you don't get celery stalks, you can take those celery leaves and add them to your salads or soups, and it just makes all the difference in the world. And you're growing it yourself.
Right, it makes you feel better too.
Yeah.
Just even knowing that, because I know walking around the grocery store, I try to go around the edges of the store, and I think I almost do muscle testing, because I won't even go in the middle sections of the store anymore, because I'm going, I don't want to buy it. I don't know what's in it. It's all packaged. That's why I go around the edges of the store. Then I look at some of the fruits and vegetables, and I'm going, but where did they come from? Is there GMO stuff in there or what?
Yeah, and they won't tell you. They won't tell you.
Yeah, and I don't know if you or anybody else have noticed, but I've realized even recently, and somebody else did too, I was talking to, that all the fruits and vegetables, like the vegetables, they almost all taste the same. Like they've lost their flavor or something, and same with the fruit.
That's because they're fast grown with chemicals and mass amounts of water to grow as fast as possible, to be shipped as quickly as possible. Some of it's even gas to make it the right color. So that's why at the market, I promote growing your own. You know, I try to sell my own vegetables, but this farm is not about profit. This farm is about teaching people how to grow their own food, teaching children how to grow their own food and reading the labels on the food that they're eating. If you can't pronounce it, you probably shouldn't be eating it.
That's right. That's the same with the, I make soaps and lotions and health, you know, and beauty products and that, and herbal stuff. And I tell people that too. If you can't pronounce it, no, just stay away from it. I know I do have to put, I have to label the products with the ingredients, and I can do it either in French or English because I'm in Canada. Or actually, I shouldn't say French or English. I'd have to put both languages in, or I have to put what they call an inky code on there that can be read around the world. It's kind of like Latin almost. A lot of the words are Latin, you know, like so that if you get sick from something, say you go to Europe, well, they can look up in a book and they can tell what the ingredient is instead of translating like that. And I wish they would do that with our foods too, especially even the canned stuff. You don't know what's in there.
No.
You know, you don't know what they've been done with.
You know, the people kind of going to have to press the government to stop being bought off by companies like Monsanto and Syntergen and these companies who are trying to control world food supply in their own genetic way that they can patent it and own it. You know, they're afraid of small farmers like me who are saving their own heirloom seeds. They don't, you know, I've been accosted by the man several times in several different directions. And, you know, it came to the point, at one point, I had to label my sprouts that I was selling at the markets here in Fort Pierce and Palm Beach Gardens. I had to label them not for human consumption. And me and my customers, me and my customers would all have a good laugh about that, and I explained to them the man's trying to shut me down because they think that I need to be regulated by them. And I say, wait.
How do you do not for consumer consumption in a market?
You stick like, a sticker on there. Yes, they came back and they talked to me about that. So they said, you can't do this. I said, you proved to me in the law where I can't. We've got eggs next to me being sold from natural free-range chickens that say for pet consumption only. Because
wow.
You know, I took a harder route because I wanted to make a point, not for human consumption. So we could have a good laugh about what the
ridiculous
government does to small farmers.
Yeah, that is so ridiculous. Yeah, because, I mean, the only thing I can see that you're supposed to sell it is to, you know, animals, and it's like, that defeats the whole purpose, of course.
No, and they came back and they said, well, if it's not for human consumption, who's it for? And I said, I don't know, maybe you'll feed it to your fish. And the guy walked away. They had a helicopter drop down behind my tent alone and blow things off of my table and old ladies' hats out of their hair and their pastries out of their hands who were sitting on the wall there to take pictures of me. I mean, I've been accosted by just being an organic farmer. And maybe they don't because I'm so adamant about it, that people should have the right to grow lettuce in their front yard if they want to.
That is wild. I mean, look at how they're coming down on just one person. Are you going to take over the world or what? Because I know
up here in Canada,
we've got farmers markets and that too, and they're promoted. You know, people go to the farmers markets for the fresh, you know, fruit and vegetables and that.
I know.
And I live in the Okanagan Valley here in BC, and we're just loaded, you know, like with apples. Right now it's grapes. They're trying to promote the wine industry. They have been for several years and that. But there's still people, you know, they sell peaches and that. We just don't do oranges. I don't think anybody does that. Peaches, apples, cherries. That's what we're known for up here. And I'm about 5 hours away from Vancouver, and for as long as I can remember, even when I lived in the Vancouver area, people would, you know, rent a truck or drive a truck down loaded with their fruit and take it down to the coast, which, you know, outside of Vancouver, and sell it off there. And nobody's been accosted as far as I know. We actually just had something here, I think it was last weekend, they had some seed sale day at one of the colleges in another town here in the Okanagan, Kelowna. And they were people were trading and selling seeds and plants and that were non-GMO. So I'm going, right now while you're talking about this, I'm going, what's the difference between Canada and the States?
Yeah.
Is that, you know, people are trying to promote it. I'm sure, you know, I know everybody's got this big thing now in the States about the GMO. We see it everywhere. You know, protesting and that.
Like I was talking about Monsanto, you've got these power structures behind the scene. You know, I'm not in that power structure. I'm just a small farmer. But you've got these people who are plotting and planning how to control food and how they're going to make money off of it. And Monsanto is so big in the government, it's ridiculous. If you Google it, you will find that a lot of the people in the FDA and Monsanto and government agricultural positions have all interchanged places over the years. They're calling the shots, and they want to wipe people like me out, and that's sad. They have accosted, you know, older couples up in Pennsylvania. I read a story not too long ago, growing a garden in their front yard, a normal front yard, growing lettuce and beets and told them to shut it down. Well, the thing is that the people can stand up and recognize that this is happening to the people that you want to get your food from. So defend them, you know, and people do stand up and they call their police departments, they call their local governments, and they come help local farms, you know. And that's how we change that is by you know, giving to the community. We're serving everyone, you know.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's to me, like, it's a God-given right, you know, or universal given right, whatever you want to call it.
I know.
Talk about control.
If somebody wants to stop that, wouldn't you, you would get pissed off, wouldn't you? I do.
Well, yeah, I mean, they've been doing it with our water and that, too, but with that Monsanto thing and
everything.
The drug industry, they've been doing it quietly, I think, for so many years. Because I did hear about it probably about 20 years ago. They were talking about our canned food and things like that, and it wasn't well known. I could go on and on
about the water supply, the air, the chemtrails, all the ways that the machine is trying to depopulate the planet and not allow us to be free individuals to experience what, you know, the mother delivered to us, this beauty in nature, is being restricted. Come on. I'm going to fight that.
Exactly.
I'm going to fight that until my dying day. And that's why I do what I do. Thanks to that lady who had me plant a seed way back when, I now realize the importance of fighting for what they're trying to take away. Nature.
Yeah, and we need to pass that on to our kids, you know, the next generation, just like your teacher did with you.
That's what I do, as much as I can. You know, I don't make any money at this.
How do you teach the others?
We've had children's workshops. We've had children's workshops out here on the farm where I'm showing them vegetables directly from my garden. And I've had mothers come up to me and say after these events and say, you know what, I could not get my daughter to eat tomatoes, and now she says she loves them. Great, I did my job. You know what else is cool?
That's right. That's the way to do it.
You know what else
What's
is cool?
That?
When I'm at the market, I give away seeds, my own seeds, my heirloom seeds here, non-GMO heirloom organic seeds. I give them away as I talk to people about you need to do this yourself. Okay, it's not up to me to supply you. It's up to you to supply you with food. It's up to your family members, whoever can do it in your local community. You got to do this yourself. I'm just here to teach you. So I give away seeds, and the best thing that ever could satisfy me in knowing that I'm doing my job right is when a kid comes back to my tent at the farmer's market and hands me a bunch of vegetables that he grew himself from the seeds that I gave him and said, hey, I want to thank you. That's when I know I've done my job.
That's right. And pass me down. And exactly like you said, the mother said there too, of how to get their kids to eat, you know, whether it's tomatoes or celery or carrots and that, and when they grow it themselves and they participate in making supper and that,
yep,
they want to try what they made.
Yep. And I have a lot of volunteers. I have a lot
That's
of volunteers
right.
come by, so I'm teaching volunteers all the time. Whether I'm making a profit off of the farm is irrelevant. Whether people are learning about how to touch the earth is totally irrelevant. And it's you know, getting them in contact with a nature that we're being deprived of in the city. And I just had a talk with somebody the other day about that, how, you know, when you live out where I live, out in the middle of nowhere, and you're in contact with these energies, the birds and the bugs and the plants and the ground and the sun and the wind, you're in contact with this all of the time. It's very disturbing for people like me to go into the city with the concrete and the angry drivers and all that stuff. And I like to offer people who are willing to come out here, I'm going to put them to work, but to offer them this space to, you know, experience this, take a break from that, realize that, you know, humanity is separating itself from nature, and that's probably going to be our demise.
Yeah, and I hear you. I, when I when I drive back to Vancouver, the concrete jungle, as they call it, and I grew up in, I lived there for 30-something years, and wow, I lived here? I can't handle it down here anymore. The crazy drivers, as soon as you get into the outskirts. And it's like, I want to turn around. I want to get back up to the interior of BC where there's more space. You know, there's less people. I mean, we still have the highways and everything. And now we're starting to really get the crazy drivers. But, boy, I hear you on that.
Sister, let me tell you, I truly feel spoiled. Because I live out here, you know, it's a blessing, and I wish all people could experience this. It's rough work, don't get me wrong. I got all kinds of bugs and critters in my home, you know, and a lot of people can't deal with that, you know. But, I got geckos on my wall. They talk, and they fight amongst each other and have fun on the wall there, and I got frogs. The frogs are eating the mosquitoes, you know.
Oh, that's neat.
I'm living in the woods, and I love it. I wouldn't have it any other way.
No, it's a different life, that's for sure. But it's so nice that you can grow your own food, and you've got the space to do it and share it.
Well,
so
go ahead.
I was going to say, what is this now? You were talking about, what is it, growing your food, taking it to the market. And I think you only sell it to, 100 miles around you or something?
Local. Absolutely.
Local, yeah.
Yeah, I believe that. See, that's the whole point of me teaching, too, is everybody's got to be local. Because, look here, you're getting your food from some farm. You don't know where it's from, okay? You don't know how it was grown. You don't know, you know, take California, for example. Now all the almonds over there are pretty much going to be radiated from Fukushima and all that stuff, the fish over there. We got big problems going on around the world, and you don't know what's going on. This is just an example. The point of that only selling locally within 90 to 100 miles is that you get to meet your farmer. You get to ask questions. How did you grow this? Where did it come from? It came from my farm. Why don't you come out and help me pull weeds? I'll show you how organic this is. I'll show you the work behind what you're purchasing for such a high price. You know, there's a reason that organic vegetables should be higher priced than things that are coming from China. If you can imagine, you know, 8,000 miles of transport, also take into consideration, China is one of the most polluted countries on the planet. There, I called the USDA and I asked them, what's going on with the USDA organic in China? Because, you know, I got this can here in front of me and it says organic baked beans, and I look at it and it says made in China. Yeah, and I used to show this to people at the market. They stopped doing that after I called them.
Wow, good for you.
He told me that there are only two USDA organic inspectors in the entire country of China.
Wow.
And Publix was selling this, by the way. It was a Publix Greenwise organic navy beans, or it was baked beans. And made in China, said on the bottom of them. Thank God it said that. At least they labeled that. Maybe, I don't know, maybe I called them and they're just not putting that information anywhere anymore. Who knows? We're being lied to constantly. That's why I teach people, do this yourself. Rely on yourselves. Rely on your own family and your loved ones. Plant your own food. Be self-sustaining. Do your own thing. Do not rely on the government. They're not there to help you.
Wow. No, definitely not.
That's amazing. Farmer Sal, can you tell us, give us a little rundown on the different markets you take your vegetables to around Florida? So for those of you who are just tuning in, Farmer Sal is our guest today. And he is a loving and passionate keeper of the earth, through his farming methods and sharing knowledge and giving organic food away. He's located in Okeechobee, which is right across from the big, beautiful Lake Okeechobee. So if you're visiting the Florida area, it's definitely worth the drive to go and visit him. So share with us, Farmer Sal, whereabouts in Florida you're taking your vegetables and offering them.
Just recently, I have not been to the markets. I've been focusing on teaching people. Things have kind of slowed down, and as you are all well aware, it's getting hotter, and that has an effect on my growth and the weeds that have to be pulled. When I'm hand weeding an acre, I need volunteers, and I haven't had that, and there's not a lot of people that want to take that on for some free vegetables, you know, to spend their day doing it. Although I have many volunteers, and they are wonderful, and we have a great time out here. It's just there's not a lot of people that are into that. The markets that I go to are in Fort Pierce, the Fort Pierce Farmers Market, and it's by the, the boat area there, downtown by the library, and Palm Beach Gardens. Palm Beach Gardens Green Market is a wonderful market, and I've been going there for over 12 years. And actually, when I started out, it was very weird because I kind of started out in Asheville growing organic vegetables and moved down here but to the larger land. I had more land down here. And the people really didn't even understand what organic was. And I was really accosted by people over the years, like downing, you know, the fact that I was selling organic vegetables, like chemically sprayed vegetables, there's nothing wrong with them, and what's wrong with you, and, you know, this is, you know, why would the government lie to us, and all this stuff. And over the years, I have so totally noticed, and I did want to tell you this, back in my mind, I did want to tell you this, over the years, I have watched people wake up, and I've been doing my part, too, and so have several hundreds of thousands of other people trying to wake people up. And I can tell you for a fact, after 12 years of doing this, I have seen more people wake up than I would ever suspect. And people are waking up due to the small things that everyday citizens do.
That's awesome. We're so honored to have you today, Farmer Sal. So one more time, would you share with us your website so people can come and visit you, and if you like, your phone number?
I haven't been, to be honest, I haven't been keeping up with my website.
Oh, okay. Well, then just your phone number if you'd like to share that again for the
listeners. Can I give out the Facebook?
Sure. You'd like to share with our listeners.
I'm on Facebook, and that's the best way to contact me is Farmer Sal in Florida. I think there's only one, so shouldn't be too hard to find. I have no idea. I have to search that. And then my phone number is 863-357-2747. I take calls from anybody who wants to learn about gardening. You'd be surprised how many phone calls I get from all over. And, you know, people just heard about me somewhere and they just want to ask. So I enjoy talking to people because as much as you teach, you learn.
That's right. And also, Farmer Sal, you had mentioned to me when we initially met that people out of state or out of the country can even come because you have room for them to camp out and participate.
That's relative. I don't have like a hotel space out here or anything like that.
Oh, okay. But they have there's place nearby where they could find.
I got a comfy old school bus in an outhouse. And
well, there you go,
camp.
Listeners.
People can camp. And I feel I always feed my volunteers. I make it a point to make sure that they're fed. And I'm a pretty good cook myself, so.
Oh, and speaking of cooking, aren't you involved in a community cooking project with your vegetables as
yes,
well?
Yes, let me talk about that. I am one of the founding local members of the Gold and Treasure Coast Slow Food, which is a chapter of Slow Food USA, which is part of an international thing. Let me tell you about... in the Piazza of Rome, they put a McDonald's in this beautiful place. They dumped this crap hole McDonald's in there. Sorry if I did something wrong there.
We have no holes barred. You're welcome to express yourself in any way you like.
Okay, so they put this McDonald's in this like really awesome place, this old place, the Piazza of Rome. And a guy named Carlo Petrini was so offended by this, as most people were in Italy, that they set up tables in the piazza and fed people spaghetti for free 24 hours a day until that McDonald's shut down. This guy, Carlo Petrini, started the slow food movement. It's about gathering people around the table again, talking about food, its recipes, where they come from, how the food is grown, sharing your stories and life with people around the table, enjoying a good meal from quality grown food where the farmers are paid fairly and things are the way that they should be. Fine wine in a very poor place or poor wine in a very rich place. Depending on where it comes from and understanding that, you know, this came from somewhere where somebody did hard work and they need to be respected and appreciated. And obviously our fast food chains are not respecting you, the customer, or the earth, or themselves. So, you know, it's part of a slow movement of changing from our fast food society into, you know, eating slower and enjoying your meals and enjoying your time together.
And feeling better, too.
Yes.
I notice when we don't eat the crap from McDonald's or anywhere else, you feel sluggish in that. And then when you actually eat real food, like the lettuce and the carrot and, you know, all the other garden vegetables, I notice I feel not sluggish, but I feel more upbeat. You know, I feel good all around. Do you guys notice that too?
I definitely do.
Yeah.
I do.
And that's what we got to promote. We really have to promote. I notice that with my kids too.
I've been a vegetarian for 27 years. When I came out here to Okeechobee, I used to pull into a McDonald's or an Arby's. And I'd say, hey, can you make me a veggie sandwich? Just take the meat off of it. And they're like, what? You don't eat no meat? What's wrong with you?
Yeah, now look how it's changed. They're flipping over to that.
So things have changed. And like I said before, it's because of people doing little acts or just being who you are. You don't even have to press. You know, teach by example is the best way.
That's right. And it sounds like you were ahead of your time, too, by going through the McDonald's, Wendy's, and Arby's and that, too. Actually where I tried a veggie burger, and actually it was pretty good, so I've been looking in the stores for the right brand.
I must be older than you.
No, I think you just started before me. I've been changing over the last few years.
Why do people keep calling me old man?
Well, don't let them call you that.
Not you guys.
You're just ahead of your time, that's all. You figured it out before the others did.
Well, that's why I'm here to share the information, too. You know, I learn a lot from people who you would not consider to be educators. So, you know. It works in all directions.
Right.
Oh, it definitely does.
Yeah.
So, Farmer Sal, one thing that we're interested in is definitely the energy of plants. And while we have a few more minutes left on this, our final show of Energetically Speaking, it would be great if you could share a little bit about what some call the plant devas or the fairies of the plant. Have you had any experience
sure.
like that? I was fascinated with the Finhorn Gardening Project way back when that first began, and I'm curious if you have any experience with them and
yes.
what you might have encountered with this.
Yes, I'd be glad to talk about that. With me, it's just dealing with plants that I have personally researched. I don't really have any contact with the people who are playing with these things or have.
Mm-hmm.
Here's one, Kalea, and I can't pronounce the last name. If you type in on Google, Kalea, Z, is it Zekatek? I don't know what the last name I have no idea. But on another name, which you can research on Google quite easily, is the name Dream Herb. And you'll come up with its botanical name. And that I grow. And I can tell you a little bit about that. I have used it before. The traditional use of this herb is to induce lucid dreaming, to where you're awake when you're sleeping. And the cool thing about it is that when you get a rested sleep, but if you're dreaming, you're aware of what's going on. And if you don't like something in your dream, you can just say, okay, I don't like this, I'm going to go somewhere else. Or if you want to fly, you can fly. Or if you want to have a conversation with somebody that you're interested in having a conversation with, you can do that in your dream space. And I have experienced this one time. I've tried it three times. Out of the three times, it only worked once. Okay? Not all herbs work for everybody all of the time, ever. So it's a hit-and-miss sort of thing. But the one time it did work, what I did was I made a tea with a normal amount of tea that you would make with any tea, and I rolled up a spleef of it, and I smoked that, and I drank the tea before I went to bed. And every night for 1 week straight, I was in the same space.
Hmm.
It was very...
And what was this herb? What was this particular plant?
Dream herb.
Dream herb, is it the African dream herb? I've
it's
heard of that one.
It's from South America. It kind of likes to grow in moist areas, and they're like waterfalls, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But,
yes, I know this plant, having been to South America many times, and I do know a source for it, everybody, so you can contact me on my Facebook page. Just look up Ambikadevi. Ambikadevi, and feel free to ask me, and I'll put you in contact with my friends who harvest wild herbs in South America and ship them around.
Cool. And also with that particular plant, it is you can easily make cuttings out of it and keep it going.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool. The plant I'm familiar with was already dried, so never had the opportunity. But also, my friend does collect seeds in the wild and also ships and shares them and heirlooms of what he's growing. Heirloom seeds are so important, aren't they, Farmer Sal?
Well, yes, and there's a multitude of reasons why. First of all, you're preserving a heritage. Something that your great-grandfather grew, you can grow the same thing because people have saved those seeds. And we've lost, you wouldn't imagine, hundreds of thousands of varieties over the past 10, 20 years have been lost. They're no longer on the planet. So saving heirloom seeds is very important. As, you got to grow to do it, but I'm trying to convince as many people to grow as possible. But Yes, and not only that, you know that your heirloom seed isn't genetically modified.
So that's really important, listeners, you know, that you look out for those heirloom vegetables. They may not be perfect and beautiful and like the genetically altered ones, but boy, do they taste better.
Yeah, definitely.
So it's not always about the exterior. It's what's going on inside, just like with our brothers and sisters.
Exactly.
Oshana, did you want to invite all our listeners over to your new show while we have a few minutes left?
Yeah, I'll do that right now. And we're going to be on blogtalkradio.com/angelic realms. And the new number over there is 949-203-4840. And you're looking for Angelic Realms Radio with Dax Carlisle, Suzanne Warnett, Rose Fullhorst, and myself, Pamela Jones, also known as Oceana Power. And we'll be over there at 1 o'clock Pacific, 4 o'clock Eastern.
And did you have a call-in number for that show?
Yeah, that call-in number is 949-203-4840. And it'll be set up the same way as LifeScape Radio is, where there's going to be a chat box at the bottom of the page, and you can listen at the top, you know, by clicking the play button up there. It's all the same, just change the names. And we are happy to take your calls in, too. I know everybody's sitting in the green room over there waiting for us to go and switch over in a few minutes. So I'd like to say thank you to Farmer Sal. Thanks for being with us.
You're welcome, and
thank
you.
Great talking with you today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It is. It's so great. We're so grateful to have you. And listeners, those of you who maybe just found us here, know that our archives will stay up on our site. Our site will stay up for a few months. And do stay tuned to our blog at lifescaperadio.com. Any hosts or personalities who are moving in different directions will post there. You can contact us through our host pages there over the next few months so that you can keep in touch with us and follow us as we move on to other networks here on Black Talk Radio. Farmer Sal, is there any last closing words that you'd like to leave our listeners with for this show?
Yes. Monotony will kill you.
That's true.
Avoid monotony. Do something different.
Yep, and don't be a sheep. Right? Leave the pack.
That's right. Well, you guys enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you so much for being a part of our show today, and everybody, you'll be able to download this immediately following the show and save it yourself and share it from the site. And Farmer Sal, thank you so much. I will definitely make an effort to come out and see you up in Fort Pierce. That's closer to me than where you are in Okeechobee when you're back there. So let us know and feel free to post on my Facebook page anytime you want. And listeners, I just want to thank everybody, and I want to also make a special thanks to Dax Carlisle for all of your love and support and my being a part of Rowdy Readers and also this show, Energetically Speaking. And Oceana, I wish you good luck and happiness and love in your new endeavors. And
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Everywhere that the energy takes you.
And I wish you the same. Best of luck for everything that you do. I know you do well in everything you touch.
Thank you so much.
And thank you for being my co-host. It has been fun.
It has. It's been really great. Was there any last bit you want to share? We have just a couple minutes left on the show.
Well, I wanted to thank, you know, the various guests that we've had on, and also Kelly Spina that we had on as my co-host earlier, and then for you jumping in and being my co-host recently. And I've had a lot of fun and learning and, you know, practicing and being on the air and everybody listening to me and my, you know, stuttering or whatever and talking over people and that too, but I'm getting better. It's been a lot of fun.
All right,
bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you so much.
Thanks. Bye-bye, everybody.
Be sure to follow Oceana over to her new show, everybody, and be sure to download and listen to all our shows and archives. Bye, Farmer Sal. Bye, Oceana.
The quest of freedom.